Hello, welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. This is Alex Cooper, and we're broadcasting live from our studios at MTP Software out in Natick, Massachusetts. They're kind enough to host us every week, and today we're with our first guest, which is Ann Soares from LabTales. Good morning, Ann. How are
you? Hi. How are you?
I'm great. So tell us about LabTales and what the mission of LabTales is.
Yeah, so LabTales started sort of as a... I don't make conventional New Year's resolutions, but every year I try to do something that either challenges me or pushes me out of my comfort zone. And being a corporate auditor for a number of years, I decided to write a kid's book in order to challenge my writing skills in a different way. And as I was partway through, you know, writing this book, I came across a video entitled Inspired to Act. And it was basically a woman who was speaking in front of this group of people, and she was talking about how she started her rescue. And I was so moved by that that I decided that I was going to use this book to help rescues, not only with their education efforts, because it is a children's book. Every time a child reads it, it gives them the opportunity to kind of learn a bit about pet adoption and how, you know, that process happens for a lot of shelter dogs. But I also donate 50% of my profit to any rescue that I partner with to help them with their monetary needs. They can pay for veterinary care, food, things like that. So
as I understand it, you wrote a book called Chuck's Journey Home.
Chuck's Journey Home, yes.
And is that biographical at all in any way, or is it pure
yes
fiction?
Yes and no. It was inspired by my Black Labrador's rescue journey. We rescued him. He was originally at a very high kill shelter in Kentucky, and then he was rescued by a lab rescue in Indiana. Sadly, they're no longer in operation, but what I did know about his journey, I incorporated that into the book, but some of it was probably mixed in and imagined to fill in some of the blanks.
So it's not like a Disney story.
No, but it does have a happy ending, which most Disney stories do.
Unless you're Bambi or something like that, or Bambi's mom. So when did you write the book? How long ago did it come out? And was it this New Year's, or was it a prior year?
The book was released in August of 2016, so just about a year ago. But I had been working on it, playing around with it since 2015, and then in 2016 I said, you know what, I'm done playing around with it. I'm actually gonna move forward, find a publisher, get them to help me edit the book and do illustrations and that kind of thing. So 2016 was the year that I, you know, really pushed forward and got it done.
That must have been a pretty significant investment of time and money to get this going.
Yeah, but I also knew, you know, once I knew that the end product was gonna have a much greater purpose, it was so worth it. And it was certainly great at each phase to see what I had been thinking about come to life. So
has this been a full-time occupation for you in this past year and a half, or you've been doing other things?
I've been doing a couple of other things. But I've been working a lot with, you know, fundraising, but, you know, trying to get the word out to different rescues to let them know, hey, this fundraising opportunity exists. Doing a lot on social media. And then over the last couple of months, I have been working with a web developer to help build a whole new website for us. So it'll make it easier for people to understand what we're all about. And it'll make it easier for folks that want to support different rescues to do that as well. So
is this all a one-person show, or do you have other people helping you besides, you know, the web developer?
Well, I am sort of a one-man band, although I have the loving support of my husband and my aunt, who have been very, very supportive, and they're willing to share and put the word out there. But the heavy lifting falls on my shoulders right now, but... Hopefully it'll be more than that soon.
And what's the reception like from the shelters?
They're grateful. They're so, so grateful that someone is willing to help them. As you can imagine, a lot of these shelters and a lot of the rescues, many of them are volunteer-based organizations. They're volunteering, you know, these people are volunteering maybe 5-10 hours a week. You may have a situation where you have some full-time people that are, you know, some of the bigger organizations have full-time people, but by and large, a lot of them are volunteers. So they, you know, anyone that is willing to approach them and say, listen, I'm here to help. What can I do? Get your pets a little bit more exposure and help you with fundraising. They're pretty open to that.
I can imagine that they like to get help any way that they can. Do you have a particular guidelines for the types of shelters that you help?
The only requirement I have is that they're designated as no-kill, and really what I mean by that is they are committed to the rescue, rehabilitation, and rehoming of animals. We understand that in certain circumstances, if an animal is, you know, just so sick that it just doesn't make sense to, you know, to provide care and that kind of thing, that they may have to make a different decision about that animal. But sadly, there are shelters out there that will kill literally for space, and that's certainly not the type of shelter that we would want to support. But certainly any rescue or any shelter that's committed to that, and you know, if they're 501c, you know, that obviously helps too, just to give people a peace of mind that their proceeds are going towards, you know, a registered nonprofit.
And you work with shelters across the country, or just in state in Massachusetts?
No, we've done some work with shelters and rescues in other parts of the country. So we are open to helping. No rescue is too small or too large, as long as they're kind of willing to partner with us and do a little bit of work. Sort of the way that our fundraising works is that they leverage their social media and their newsletters, however they communicate with their supporters, is really how they would work with us. We're not asking them to invest any money and really any more time than it would take to share a post or, you know, add information about our fundraising opportunity to their newsletter. It's really that simple. And the other great thing too is that regardless of how successful the fundraiser is, so whether they sell you know, one product or 100, there's never any, we don't charge for administrative fees. We don't charge for any of that. We literally take half our profit, and at the end of that fundraiser, we just give it to them. So there's no back end, oh, you raised this much, we're going to take, you know, this cut. So it's really that simple for them.
So do they generate a good number of sales for the books when they go through there? Are you talking like tens or hundreds or...
It depends on the rescue. I've done, I worked with one rescue on Cape Cod. We did pretty well, at a couple of their fundraising events. That's the other thing too, for people that are local to me, I'll go, you know, if they're hosting a fundraiser outside of, you know, where their organization is, I'm happy to go and set up a table and, you know, help them raise some money. Some of the smaller rescues, maybe where they don't have the resources to kind of get the word out, it's not as successful. But we worked with a rescue in Ohio not that long ago that you know, literally took the bull by the horns, and they did pretty well. So it really varies. It depends on how much commitment they want to put forth. It depends on how engaged their social media following is. You know, it's kind of a number of factors, but we're certainly willing to do our part to, you know, help get their rescue some exposure and, you know, help them raise funds.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, it seems like there's a natural connection there to families that might be adopting a pet, coming in and taking a book when they leave, or ordering a book, or finding out the book in the pet newsletters. Having adopted a couple of dogs from shelters in the past, I certainly get a lot of communication from them. But I imagine I'm working with the bigger, more well-funded shelters in this area, like Buddy Dog and Northeast Animal Shelter, which have these amazing facilities and a lot of communication that comes out. So it seems like they'd be able to promote the books really easily if they would put them in the newsletter around holiday time and things like that.
Yeah, and if they have, like one, working with a rescue now that is building a pretty brand new facility down in Cape Cod, and their goal is to, when the new facility is built, actually take some of my books and put them in their little like gift shop, if you will. So not only, you know, that's an option too, but yeah. I also realize that a lot of the smaller rescues don't have, you know, they're all foster based, so they don't necessarily have a building where they can, you know, sell merchandise. But for the bigger rescues, yeah, absolutely, that's certainly an option too. And then the proceeds go right back, you know, to them. So it's win-win for everybody.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you for coming in today. And so if people want to get in touch with you or get a copy of Chuck's Journey Home, what's the best way that they can do that?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook. You can look us up, Lab Tales, on Facebook. And then we also are available on the web. It's www.labtales.com. And our new website is going to be launched this week, so it'll give people an opportunity to actually shop on that website. So
that's terrific. Well, yeah. We'll link to that. We're glad to have you on the show. Thanks for coming in today.
Great. Thanks so much.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. This is Alex Cooper. We'll be right back after these messages. Thank you.